The title for this message is We Are Called Into the Fellowship in Christ. We are called into the fellowship in Christ. You know, it's interesting that we can read our Bibles. We can be searching out topics, or we can look for lessons. We can just read through. Sometimes people like to just read through. We can have scheduled times of reading from cover to cover. And we can read right along and just come across different phrases that seemingly insignificant necessarily. Something that doesn't seem that important. We just assume we know what it means. Today I want us to stop along our way as we read and come across one of these little phrases that appears. Only two words. It's already been mentioned here today in the sermon, in Mr. Hendrick's sermon. He already mentioned it several times. Did we pick up on it? It goes by. It's not wrong. It's just that we don't. I'm wanting today to focus on those two little words for a change. And that's the two little words, in Christ. What does it mean, in Christ? And on the surface, it would seem like, what's the big deal? That's just two little words. Just go on, you know. But today, I'd like to take a note and focus on those two little words. What does that mean, to really be in Christ? And so, I'd like to start, if we could go to Romans 16. We heard this morning or earlier about the other message, what the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians. And here he is writing to the Roman brethren. And Romans 16, I love this chapter among many chapters, but one of the wonderful blessings in this chapter is he takes note of the brethren. This is like his final letter to these people in the Rome area. And like as if someone were noting the Vero Beach congregation or your congregation, wherever you are, and there are brethren in that congregation that the minister particularly wants to say a greeting to or farewell to them. Well, in this case, he goes through we'll go through this chapter quickly, Romans 16 and verse 1 and 2, for example, he mentions Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria. And it says that ye receive her in the Lord. There's the phrase. It could be in Christ, or it could be in the Lord, or something similar to that. But she is a representative of someone who is following this characteristic of being in the Lord. Okay? He notices that about her. And then you go to verse 3. You have Priscilla and Aquila. Okay? He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers, what? In Christ Jesus. There's a relationship that he's noticing them having this quality. You go to verse 7, you'll see Adronicus, and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. There's something to notice there. Verse 8, you have Ampelus, my beloved, in the Lord. Verse 9, Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Then you have verse 10, Apelles, approved in Christ. You have the family of Narcissus in verse 11. They were in the Lord. You have Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. There's a characteristic. They're doing something. There's activity happening here. They labor. So did Priscilla and Aquila. They were willing to lay down their necks for Paul's sake. But then you have Rufus, verse 13. Rufus, chosen in the Lord. You see, these characteristics of these brethren were such that they were noted by him. And imagine someone writing of this congregation. There's you and you and you and you. Everyone has this place. And you, hopefully, are in Christ as well. Well, these simple two words might just pass by on the surface, but there are an amazing array of characteristics I'd like to cover today and attributes that are included in the background of these two little words, in Christ. Let's see if we can learn what we can today. In our list of the brethren that we just went through in Romans, Paul noticed in them a quality that allowed him to know that there was something in them. There was a particular quality. Their lives were active and they showed evidence of Christ being in them. Yet they also were in Christ. And I'm thinking that there's this tool direction. There's a two directions going on. There's in Christ outwardly from me to him. There's another one from Christ to me or to you. Each one of you, you have an outward movement toward Christ. He has another movement toward you. There is an interplay between the two of us. And I think that is something awesome to think of in that relationship. You were talking about the engraving and how that can we have a nature of him as he being engraved in our minds, that it won't move, it can't erase it. So let's look at the list of that I came up with that are each part of our interaction with being in Christ. Now my list, I have 13 items here. Why did you have 13? Well, because originally I had 25. When I was writing this thing out, I had 25. I go, well, they're going to go to sleep if I give them all 25. So they'll get bored, so I better cut it down. So I ended up with 12. Well, I got the 12, and then I thought, there was one more. Oh, there's something else. So I added it. It becomes 13. So there's no big reason why there's 13, just the dumb luck of Mr. Wilson, I guess. Anyway, I'll just go through the list quickly. And I'll go slow enough for you can read. Connie, if you're on here, you can. I'll think of you and go slow so you can read. You can write it down. The first one is the church. These are called attributes of being in Christ. Attributes of being in Christ. The 13 words have to do with that. A list of attributes of being in Christ. So the first one is the church. The second one is wisdom. Third is righteousness. Fourth is sanctification. Fifth is redemption. Go slower. Okay. Second was wisdom. Third was righteousness. Fourth was sanctification. Fifth was redemption. Fifth was faithful. Seventh was new creation. Eighth was good works. Ninth is access to the Father. 10th was sleep in. Sleep in. We'll get to that. Well, I'm going to go through back through all these in, as we go through the text of the message. But the 10th is sleep in. 11 is suffering with. 12 is abiding in. And 13 is fellowship. That's the one that came last. Thought of it. Now, like was said in the earlier message, we have our culture of our world to live in. The things that are ingrained, that we ingrain ourselves in. There's all sorts of things, you know, that go down the list of our finances, of sports, vehicles, movies, entertainment, our social life, politics, all the kind of things that can get our minds tuned into those things, right? And those things can distract us from this is what we want. This is the idea of becoming immersed in Christ rather than immersed in those things. So let's take the list now and go down and see what we can find out. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, please. One page over from Romans 16. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. It says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So my first word of the attributes was church. And just the very fact of being in the church in the first place is being in Christ. If we go to Ephesians 1, please, we'll go and talk about this for a while, a little bit, because it's a very important concept. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If you go to Colossians 1 and verse 24, Colossians 1 and verse 24. We'll see, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. First Corinthians 12 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And then please go to Romans 12. Romans 12. And verse 5. So we see, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And then another one in this section, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 1, to whom he's writing. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 1. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, unto the church that was in God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. So being put into the church, called into the church, puts us in Christ. That in itself is a miraculous thing to consider. Without even going to the other words, that in itself is an awesome thing to realize. And it's probably something we don't really focus on as much as we ought to. That being in his church, we are in him. That puts a real responsibility on us to be in Christ and to maintain that. So just being here in the church of God is in itself a special place to be. So that's something to dwell on. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each of these. Each of these attributes, we could spend a sermon on each one of them. So I'm just giving a highlight today of these different ones. The next one, the next three, wisdom, actually four, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, we can cover that in one verse. So if you'll go to 1 Corinthians 1, please. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, notice, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There's another in the Lord. You could go through the Bible, if you want to, sometime as a Bible study, and just highlight all of, that would take you some time, to go through and highlight or write down a list of all of the places you'll see, either in Christ or in the Lord or something to that effect. It's this concept is being just emphasized in these scriptures constantly. And it's something to just notice. Okay, the next word was faithful. Faithful. And for faithful, I want to go to Ephesians 1 and verse 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 1. We've already read this, didn't we? Didn't you read Ephesians 1, 1? But we didn't read it under this context. We read it under a different context. But here we are. Ephesians 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful, what? In Christ. There is a relationship they have in this context. And then 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. We could spend a whole sermon on this topic, but we're not going to this day. 1 Corinthians 4 and 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which is in Christ, as I teach everywhere in the church, in every church. So Timotheus was in the Lord, faithful. It says he was faithful. So he is telling us the concept of in Christ by having the brethren notice Paul's own example of his own ways. And we could spend an hour going through just Paul, let alone any of those others. The people he mentioned in Romans 16, we could write an article about Paul, talk about somebody who was in Christ. If it was anybody who was in Christ, he was certainly, you know. So he knew how to write about it because he was of it himself. And you can notice other people who were in him too. Now the next one we're going to go to is a new creation. New creation. We sing this in the song we have on page 105, Ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Ambassadors for Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind. Well, what is the first line? The beginning of that song talks about, if anyone is called in Christ. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Whoops. Did I say first? I meant second. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. And Ephesians 4 and verse 23 and 24. Ephesians 4, verse 23 and 24. Ephesians 4 and verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we're to put on this new thought, new thinking. It's like what Mr. Hendricks was talking about, replacing the culture that we live in, the culture we're used to, the culture that's engraved in our natural beings. We're to replace that culture with this culture, the new culture of Jesus Christ, of his mind, of his way. And when I think of that, I want to go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9 for a moment. It reminded me of this particular section where Jesus was talking about the wineskins, Matthew 9. And it's a concept that, again, it probably needs its own sermon in itself. But Matthew 9 and verse 17 says, neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles. The old King James says bottles, it means wineskins. And both are preserved. Wineskins were done. They put the unfermented grape juice, essentially, into the wineskins. And then it fermented. As it fermented, it expanded. And that's how you made the wine. Well, if you'd put the grape juice into old wineskins, those wineskins have already been expanded. They're not going to expand anymore. They'll break. So you had to put the grape juice into new wineskins to preserve the wine, which he's talking about. But here we're talking about putting in the mind of Christ, putting that new man into us, the new person into us. Take away the old. The old was our old. This old wineskin up here in my head is the old wineskin knocking in here. And I'm trying to replace, have God replace in me that old wineskin and replace it with the new, so that I would stop living and thinking my old way and start thinking this new way. We have to be changed from within and have the new man written within us. And Mr. Hendricks mentioned that also in Jeremiah 31. He talked about having the law written in our hearts as opposed to written on stone, or on, you know, so that it changes us from within. So we are to become a new creation. So we expanded on that one a little bit. So now let's go to the next attribute that we're talking about, and that is to do good works. To do good works. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So there's a purpose in why we're being called to do something effective. We don't just be static. We're not just called and then we just sit there. No, we become active. And the whole world benefits, hopefully. The desire to do good for others becomes real in us as we are working in Christ. And he is in us, granting a living outlet for his ways to flow. He inspired me to write that, and I wrote it. But I think that's one of the big keys he talked about the light to shine. And the light shines out from you when you don't even know you're shining it. It's like it just flows out of you and people just see it. They just notice it because of the way you are. And when you're doing, you just want to do good works. It just comes out of you because it's him in you doing it. There's no good within us, but we have good in us when he's in us. So we walk in these things and they're a part of us in our life all the time. Now, for the other one, we have access to the Father. Access to the Father. We're already in Ephesians, so let's stay with Ephesians 2, and we'll go to verse 12. We're going to read 12, 13, 18, and then we'll go to one more. But Ephesians 2 and verse 12, you notice that he's writing this to the Gentiles and their relationship to being ostracized, as it were, from the Jews at the time. In their culture, the Jews were the in crowd, so to speak, and the Gentiles were not in. So the Gentiles were being called into the church, and they were to be included in now, as opposed to the old days when they weren't. So he's doing that for them, telling them how they are now part of this family of Christ. But that's then. What is for us is that it's written for us as well. All of us also were apart from God at one point. All of us were outside of God's church or his family or his way. In our old days, in my old days, I was not a part of it either. And so he's brought me in. So he could say in verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ. That was me. I was without Christ at one point. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where I was. I was just in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're made nigh, we're made near, we're brought into this relationship. That's awesome, you know. And then verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And that's the point I'm making in this one attribute, is that being in Christ brings us into a relationship with the Father. We wouldn't have had a relationship with the Father if it weren't for the fact that Jesus Christ is our intercessor. God calls us, but then we have a relationship with the Father through him. Jesus came to reveal the Father. One of the purposes he came was to reveal the Father, which is what the book of Revelation is about, to reveal. And so that's an amazing thing. And then chapter 3 and verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So the Gentiles are not left out, neither are we left out by spiritual application in our day. So imagine, whether the Gentiles, as it were written here, or for us, we and they have a relationship with God the Father. That's awesome. That's probably one of the most important ones of this whole list, is that we are in Christ, have a relationship with God the Father. Because of our sins, we did not have relationship with the Father. And Jesus took care of that. The separation is removed from us. This is a huge and majestic reality that can't be emphasized enough, with that the shedding of Christ's blood by his sacrifice, whether the Jews or whether the Gentiles then or us today, access to God the Father is now possible. Every day when we go and pray, he's our intercessor. So, quite remarkable. Then, when the one I had was sleep in him. Sleep in, that seems strange. But if you go to 1 Thessalonians 4, it describes a people. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And so verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead, what? In Christ shall rise first. And it's amazing to realize that because of the relationship they had established between them and their relationship with Christ, in whatever way that took place in their lives, that relationship, even though they're dead, that relationship is like, it's like that relationship is on reserve to be preserved. The relationship that they had is preserved. They are not preserved necessarily physically, but their relationship is preserved, even though they're sleeping, awaiting their resurrection to be restored to a relationship. But they sleep in Christ. This is an amazing thing. They're not lost. They're just on reserve, like. That's my word. I just don't know what else to say. We cannot fully grasp the awesome significance that we can do, that we're just maintaining this relationship as we're able, and to continually grow stronger in it. And let's see, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. This is the hope, 15 and 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So though they sleep, they're just as good as the next moment, made alive again. Now, the next one in my list is suffering with. This verse
It doesn't really say in Christ specifically, but these two men illustrate, if anybody could, what it is to be in Christ, I think. Acts chapter 5 and verse 40 and 41. Acts chapter 5 and verse 40 and 41. You have Peter and John, and they had been put in prison, so forth. They were let go, so forth. But in verse 40 it says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go." And this is the next verse is what I'm getting at, brethren. For anybody to say this in their heart has got to be somebody in Christ to say this. "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." Would you feel worthy of suffering for Christ's name while you're going through the suffering? Now that's something to think about. And can we reach that kind of grasping of a relationship with him? Well, I better keep moving here. Abiding in. Abiding in was the next one. And then we have to go to 1 John 2 to look at abiding in.
1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 John 2 and verse 24. "Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." Continue in. So he had to have been there to begin with to continue in it. And then in verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." There's a big instruction to follow through on. And then verse 5 and 6 of John. 1 John 2, verse 5 and 6. "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." There's an instruction. As he walked. Well, how did he walk? That's another subject, another study. If you could study that one. How did Jesus walk? Okay, next one is fellowship. Fellowship, that's the one that came to me that what made it the 13th one. Fellowship, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. "God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." We're called unto this fellowship together. So we see these various attributes of a simple phrase, in Christ. We will think a little deeper about the next time when you're reading through and you come across these two words. Give it a thought. Think, what does that mean, in Christ? So we've covered that a little bit. It is a living and dynamic thing. We're a living and dynamic people. This is an energy, like an energy. It's a thing running that's full of energy. This whole work that God is involved in, and we want to be in it, a part of it. So I hope you all succeed and have a wonderful future. Great Sabbath for the rest of the day. Thank you for listening.